You are listening to Inverse Autasky, the Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 8, Episode 11. Overview.
Welcome once again. This episode will surely help your communication skill. I'm your host, Wade, and let's get started. The software featured in this episode is a communications package called SendCom. It's a terminal program, and here's what the publisher has to say about it. SendCom is a flexible and easy-to-use program for computer communications. With SendCom, you will be able to access any computer information service that can be reached by telephone. You will have unlimited resources at your disposal and the ability to devise and send your own computer messages, text, or data. SendCom has been carefully designed for easy use and convenience. As you become more familiar with SendCom's various applications, you will find the exciting world of computer communications opening up to you in new and interesting ways. As you may have guessed, based on the product name, the publisher is Synapse Software. Synapse has been discussed before, so I won't go into details here.
Technical data.
SendCom was released in 1983 by Synapse Software. The programmer was Pete Goodeve. This does not require BASIC. It came on disk, and the part number was ATDSK-2116. It requires 48K of memory, and the price was $39.95, which is $121.49 today. Note that it requires an 850 or compatible interface and a modem. It will also work with the Atari 1030 modem. The manual is 74 pages cover to cover. The manual is 9 inches by 7 inches and of a 3-ring binder type with 8.5 inch by 5 inch pages. This manual is broken into 6 sections, which are Introduction, Getting Started, System Commands, System Configuration, Advanced User's Utility, and Reference. The manual is well written, professionally printed, and includes screenshots to help you understand the topics being addressed. As for the packaging, the product was shipped in the aforementioned 3-ring binder, which itself was encased in a box. The box and manual have the same design. The overall background is grayish beige.
Just call it gray, please.
Fine. Gray. On the top right in very large italic type is the word SendCom in white. Under that in small text, same font and same color, it says Modem Communications for Your Computer. At the bottom, flushed right in white, is the Synapse logo with a rainbow-colored stripe underneath that stretches across the width. Between those is a large black box. There is a green outline of the United States centered around the Midwest. And there are multiple plot lines drawn between cities, with each city having several connections. At the bottom of the box is a push-button telephone sitting on a Hayes-style modem. The receiver is off-hook, sitting on what appears to be an open phone directory. One entry is circled in red, an open red marker is sitting right next to it, and behind the directory is a maroon 3-ring binder, which is the user manual for the source.
Usage notes.
First of all, the disk is two-sided. The front side, or A, has the SendCom program itself. The back side, or B, has a utility program which is used to generate configuration files for use in the main terminal program on the front. The main terminal program on the front, or side A, allows you to change some of the operating parameters, but not all of them, so you need both. Once you boot the main program on side A, SendCom itself, the screen has a custom display list with mixed text modes and some blank scan lines interspersed to create text division areas. All of the graphic zero modes that are on the screen are of the standard Atari blue with light blue text. The top line has a connection timer on the far right. The timer shows hours, minutes, and seconds. Then there is a graphics one line with orange text that says SendCom centered, and it has a black background. Then there are 20 graphic zero lines, which are the terminal window. At boot, there is program information displayed here, all centered. The second line will also have SendCom. Line 5 has the word by, line 7 has the author, Pete Goodeve, line 10 has the copyright, which reads, Copyright 1983 Synapse Software. At about line 16, it has open for business, which is also surrounded by a thick bar in ATASCII characters on either side. Then there's a single black scan line. Then there's an echo line, which is in graphic 0. Then there are some double black scan lines. And then there's a status line, which is in graphic 0 as well. On the far right on this line is the free buffer space. On a stock 128K-130XE, there are 18,010 bytes of characters free. On a stock 800XL, there are 9,818 bytes free. There's a short note about the echo line. The echo line is where the commands you type appear. What is typed here is sent to the modem. If the modem echoes it back, it will appear in the terminal lines above. The communications package supports the following: baud rates of 110, 134, 150, 300, 600, 1200, 1800, 2400, 4800, and 9600 baud. It supports ATASCII and ASCII translations. For parity, it supports none, odd, even, or set. For duplex, it supports half and full. For DTR, it supports on, off, or unchanged. For RTS, it supports on, off, or unchanged. ZON and ZOFF can be enabled and disabled. It supports word wrap, which can be turned on and off. It supports block capture, which can be turned on and off. It also supports X-modem send and receive. There is an addition of a slow transmission mode, which inserts a configurable millisecond delay between outbound transmitted characters. This is useful if the system on the other end can't keep up. You can turn line feed characters on and off. You can set a custom left margin. You can set a custom background color, and you can set a custom character luminance. There is also a mini DOS, which includes directory, erase, rename, and set default drive. It comes with several predefined configuration files to get you started: CompuServe, ATASCII, CRLF translation, etc. Other than that, you use it as you would use any other terminal program to connect to your destination system. For files, the disk is copy protected. The front side, or main program, you cannot see the contents. On the back side, you can. It has Atari DOS 2.0S on it, both DOS and dupe.sys. The following files are also present: autorun.sys at 131 sectors. This is the configuration utility. And there are 7 configuration files, each at 11 sectors in size, and they are binary in nature. Those are cserve.tcf. This is the CompuServe configuration. default.tcf. This is the out-of-the-box configuration. B, as in boy, 1200.tcf. All else being equal, this sets the baud rate to 1200. oddpair.tcf. This sets the terminal up for odd parity. crlf.tcf. This sets the terminal up for carriage return line feed translation. demo.tcf. This is essentially a one-page help screen. And ATASCII.tcf. This sets the terminal up for ATASCII translation. It does support up to 4 disk drives. And when creating files used with the write block function, the default file extension is .trx. The default file extension for X-modem received files is .xmr. And as you already know, .tcf is for the configuration files.
Fun factoids.
The manual states that you probably only need 300 and 1200 baud. 1200 would have been fast in 1983 and perhaps expensive. It goes on to state that it's only reliable up to 2400 baud, at which point data overruns the input buffer due to the display scroll speed. And if that's the case, why support anything over that in the menu?
Summary.
I had a lot of trouble running SYNCOM. Since I have a Mac, I needed to get Wine installed so I could run Altera. Modem communications is a feature that really needs to be addressed in Atari 800 Mac X. I chose to use Whiskey instead of Wine. Whiskey uses the Apple GamePort technology, and really makes building wine bottles and usage of Windows programs easy. Once I got it running with an emulated 850 interface and modem attached, I started the usage research. Almost immediately, I ran into a major problem. Syncom uses hotkeys for access functions. You hold down Option to see the menu, and then you press a key, or you can shortcut them by holding Start and pressing the letter of the function you want. Configuration happens to use C, which is logical, and to press Option or Start with Altera, that requires using F3 or F2 keys. To accept those keys requires pressing the FN key on the Mac keyboard, which is also the globe key on modern Macs. This is easy enough. I could get to the Option menu and see the commands. However, pressing C at this point invokes a Mac OS system level command to open the control center. I messed around with that for a few hours trying to remap the keys in Altera and finally gave up. Then I figured out how to disable the binding so it wouldn't open control center at the OS level. That's not a setting I can keep off because it alters the function keys as well. This lets me get to Syncom configuration finally. While talking about keys, the Mac doesn't have a pause key per se, so I couldn't use the Atari break key, which is required when saving a configuration. I would later find out that Altera supports a break key on a different mapping that I didn't know about. And in my opinion, this is a poor choice to terminate an entry. This isn't an issue on the Atari 800 Mac X emulator because it has a console key window that includes the break key. So, enough of my emulation troubles. I did get it to dial out through Altera, but the ATASCII screens from Southern Amos BBS were not being drawn correctly, which, without being able to get to config to turn on ATASCII translation, was kind of an issue. So for the actual connection testing, I ended up using real hardware and grabbing screens through video capture. So this is why you'll notice a difference in some of the screenshots. When using the terminal program, it seems to always use the smooth scrolling on the XL/XE computers. This made it a little easier to read messages on the BBS, but slowed it down more than I prefer. There was also a persistent issue with the ATASCII presentation. Sometimes it did not draw cursor movements and instead printed the corresponding ATASCII character. Such as, if the cursor should move up, it displayed the up arrow instead, which throws off the rest of the screen render. I also ran into issues when using backspace. The changed text would often be reflected in the edit bar, but not in the terminal. There are some screenshots of this on the website. I didn't experiment with the block capture or Xmodem file transfer because I wasn't impressed with the rest of the program, and quite frankly, there's no need to today. I think the main usage for a terminal program today is accessing bulletin boards or other platform-specific social messaging services. Any program or text is likely available on the internet today. I did look at the functions, but didn't fully test them. I'm going to assume these functions work fine. Now I have to mention perhaps the single largest irritant that I ran into. The configuration options don't encompass all the settings you need. Most notably, you can't change the baud rate unless you boot the configuration program on the back, create a configuration, then boot the main program again, then load that configuration. I think this was a large design oversight. The configuration program gives a lot of control over translation, to the extent that you can create your own custom mappings. This may be extremely helpful when communicating with other platforms. Maybe this ability is where Syncom shines, but it's lost in my use cases. What did I like about Syncom? I can only think of one. It supports a lot of baud rates, all the way up to 9600 baud. It's just too bad they are not immediately accessible when you might need them. And also unfortunate that it's not reliable above 2400. What did I dislike about it? Well, there are several, but I'll try to keep it short. First, I really didn't like that you can't configure something as simple as the baud rate from the terminal program itself. It has to be done from the configuration utility. I mean, really? Second, the edit bar. This is where you input text or modem commands. It doesn't clear unless you press return. If you're on a BBS that doesn't require pressing return for a selection, you end up with a trail of breadcrumbs on that line. And last, I didn't like the compressed screen size. 20 rows sounds like a lot, but in practice I find it limiting. It becomes problematic when trying to read long messages on a bulletin board. From a 1983 perspective, would I use it? No. A modem is a mature product at that point, around version 4 at this time. Version 4.2 is generally available as of May 1983. I mostly used A modem between 83 and 85. A modem is much easier to use and allows you to control all aspects of the communication without an additional program, and you get more lines of text on the screen. To top it off, A modem was free. From a retro perspective, would I use it? No. Again, A modem is a better product, and there are other great terminals such as Express and Bobterm. On real hardware, I would choose one of those two, but on Mac or iOS, I would use MuffinTurn. And in fact, I do. For a bit rating, I'm going to give this a 4. I feel like this was a failing in the Synapse product line, which otherwise produced some great software. The wasted screen real estate and awkward configuration utility are real killers for me. I'll leave you with this, and maybe it will help you understand. Why write a terminal program and not make setting something as simple as the baud rate immediately accessible?
Special thanks.
First, I want to thank WizWars for the fantastic chiptune 8-bit raceway, which is used as part of the intro. I want to thank you for continuing to listen, and I want to thank Synapse for quality software, perhaps with the exception of this one.
Goodbye.